Good morning, folks. Happy Friday, and welcome back to another edition of the Drive Time Friday Show. I'm your Colorado-based host, Mark Call, and with me online, at least I hope he is our other Colorado-based host, David Justice. He's been having some difficulties off and on with his internet this morning, and I guess that's becoming more and more widespread as the system begins to break down. Communist systems tend to do that. In any case, good morning, David. How are you doing? And let's see where you're at and what you'd like to start off with as we look at the week that was. Oops, and you are breaking up a bit.
National collapse than we've ever been.
Okay, well, I would echo that. We saw probably the main indicator this week, and it's a lie, so we know that it's understated dramatically. But the consumer price index, various inflation indices are out, and there's now one they call super core CPI, which is basically let's take out things that people don't need, like rent and food. Well, I don't know if food's in there or not, but in any case, the super core CPI came in way above expectations. Zero Hedge noted that all of the major categories that they looked at were way above expectations, too, and they expected it to be hot. So it's literally almost 5%. Now, the interesting thing, of course, if we look at people like John Williams and ShadowStats, who's been calculating it the old-fashioned way, i.e. accurately, for years, the way they used to do it before the Clinton regime decided we need to soft-pedal it and understate it so we can make growth look better than it is. Anyway, the real number is a hell of a lot higher, multiple times higher, and anybody that's been to the grocery store knows this, than the official CPI number. But that came in at almost 5%. So the reason why that was bad was because, we're not going to get what we've been jonesing for, not going to get the interest rate decline, and that means that it may be ice instead of fire that takes the economy down. But ultimately, the question is, will or will not the Fed bail out the Biden fuhrer during the election year? And if they don't, how are they going to rig the election, given that everybody knows that he's a fake? So lots and lots of stuff going on. And I guess if there's a theme, David, it has to do with the fact that ultimately there's a whole lot of stuff that's going on that we know just plain defies logic. And it suggests, more than suggests, that there are some real problems, like you're saying, and they're not being reported, but they are finally coming out.
Well, I like it.
As usual, emphasize that we are in a world war. It's an intellectual war. It's a war of ideas and concepts and information, and it's nothing should surprise us anymore. If we look at the context of everything that we're experiencing from the perspective that there's some really key players in the federal government that are attempting to overthrow this country, everything starts to make sense if you put it in that context. And so it helps me to find peace knowing that we're at war, because at least I know the reality of what we're dealing with, and so it gives me a place from which to live.
Okay. Well, you know, and there's another element to this, too. You kind of alluded to it. I'll go there explicitly. This war is becoming more and more overt as well. Probably, I think, one of the most interesting stories, if not the biggest one this week, had to do with yet another. Now, they haven't actually come out and said whether this was a Grindr app. There's a lot of people that are speculating that that's what it was. Grindr is, I think, one of the big homosexual LGBTQ. They probably got every perversion you can think of in there. But anyway, it's basically a dating app for people that are, let's just say, fit for the cabinet in the Biden Fuhrer regime. But regardless, there was an investigation undercover sting operation called Sound Investigations that came up with a lot of audio and video of this guy in the CIA, claims FBI connections. Now, is he what he says he is or not? Well, evidently, there have been some checking that's been done, and yes, he is at least an employee of these entities. What his assignments are, of course, I'm not going to tell you. But he came right out and said a lot of things that didn't surprise anybody, other than the fact that he admitted what we've already known. The CIA basically was jonesing to kill Alex Jones, figuratively at very minimum. They wanted to take all of his money. They wanted to shut him up. And literally the guy said, cut off his legs. It sounded to me a little bit like Marlon Brando in The Godfather. And what he's described was lawfare. We can get anybody, he said. We can set them up. We can entrap them. Oh, well, it's not entrapment when we do it, was basically the summary. So over and over again, this guy just came out and said, you know, you peons out there, We don't give a damn about your lives, about what you want to hear. We don't care about the truth. We can get you. If we feel like it, just know that's the message. We can get you whenever we want to. And really, honestly, when I watch the video, Dave, and I encourage people to find out and see it, you can listen to it. It's kind of hard to hear because it's in a live background and doesn't make for great radio. But when you listen to it a couple times, you can see exactly what the transcript says is correct. And that is the look on this guy's face. We literally, we're ha-ha, we're so much better than you. We can do anything we damn well want. Ha-ha, you can't stop us, you peons, you. All right, go ahead.
Stop it. The principles of law, knowing who we are, knowing what the founding fathers went through to break away from that kind of power. Essentially, what America was intended to be. And so I would argue that as long as we remain ignorant, we will continue to go down this road and they will continue to be
David?
It was a scary thing.
Your microphone is almost inaudible here. I can hardly hear what you're saying.
People have total power.
Okay, yeah, honestly, you got to work on your microphone. I couldn't understand a word that you just said. I doubt most of the listeners could, unfortunately. Okay, try it one more time, and then we'll move on if we can't. There you go. That's better.
I'm back. Go ahead. I don't know how much got missed, but go ahead.
Everything. I didn't hear a word you said. Try it. Just summarize it again.
I was just saying that the they're going to continue to get away with this so long as the American people, and particularly institutional Christianity, teaches that we're supposed to submit and obey to the government, when even if the government terms criminal. When the government becomes criminal, we have a duty to begin to work a process of throwing off that government according to the principles of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence. We're here. The question that we always wrestle with is the how. And the answer to the how is knowledge and understanding and distinguishing the truth from the narrative that they're always foisting upon us. And that as long as we don't do that, they're going to continue to have the advantage. And so this is a wake-up call, and here we are waking the people up. Let's continue to do that.
Okay. Well, let's see. How about anything else that you want to throw up into the mix right off the top? I know you mentioned another one that you had before we talked live here.
There was a news reporter, CBS investigative news reporter, Catherine Herridge, was held in contempt of court last month for refusing to hand over her confidential sources pertaining to a Chinese spy inside the government. And the
got to protect the Chinese spies.
This is what's really interesting. So the Congress decided to look into legislation to protect confidential sources, which I found interesting because I just thought until yesterday that there was a law in place, because certainly the news up until now hasn't had a problem with confidential sources. But CBS News fired her and took her, and she was taken to court to divulge those sources. She refused, and so she was held in contempt. Yesterday, she was giving testimony in front of Congress, who was holding a hearing on this particular bill, and it was an interesting moment. The First Amendment, the protection of the freedom of press, is under direct assault now, and by the Biden administration, in the context of hiding a Chinese spy inside the government.
Go ahead, Mark.
You know, and again, this is, it's yet another one of these stories that essentially comes out and tells us exactly what we've already known. It shouldn't surprise anybody. It doesn't. And I guess when you were going through the story, you know, the fact that their gang rape on the First Amendment, gee, tell me something we didn't know. Wait till the Supreme Court comes out here in another month or so and tells us that you don't have a right on socialist media to find the truth there or speak the truth or anything else. It's also like what people are seeing is, hey, you thought the Bill of Rights was a protection. And a lot of people think the Bill of Rights applies to citizens. No, it doesn't. There's nothing in there that says citizens of the United States or U.S. citizens have a right to freedom of speech or assembly of worship or to keep and bear arms. It says Big Brother can't take away those rights, period. And it doesn't matter whose rights they are. Now, the fact that if somebody is here illegally, are they suddenly protected? Well, did they get in here illegally? If so, you can throw them back out. But you better do that even according to due process. But they are not, in fact, supposed to be here. That's a different deal, even though you're not going to hear that. So when all of that is said and done, David, what interested me was your comment about contempt of court. Because I really think we ought to just pick that statement apart for a second. She was held in contempt of court. And I have to admit it, when I look at Sotomayor or any of the leftists, Ketanji Brown Jackson, that doesn't know what a woman is, when I look at any of these people masquerading with their black robes as if they actually understood the law, if you don't have contempt of court, I would say you're ignorant. Go ahead.
I'm going to say that if you're not being held in contempt of court, you're probably not operating in the truth.
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age. Now, I want to go back to what you said because this is an important distinction. And I think many of your listeners may know this, but this is so important what you said. The Bill of Rights has been misnamed. I cringe every time I hear someone say constitutional rights as though rights come from the Constitution and the government gets to pick and choose how to regulate those rights. That notion is an extremely dangerous notion, and it's the fact that those first 10 articles in amendment to the federal Constitution restrict the power of government. That's coming down to the why the governments of this world, the totalitarian dictators, don't like the Constitution. They don't want it. That's why the Constitution's under attack. They want to have power to do anything they want. I've lived in a world for so long with people, citizens, thinking that the government can do anything they want because they do, and I think, no.
Whoops. We just lost David again. There we go. Go ahead. I think you're back. You there, David? Oops. David, I hear you, but I can hear you breathing. Your microphone, maybe. Yep. You're not, he's online, folks, but I'm not hearing him anymore. Okay. I think he's still trying to talk.
I'm back.
Okay, finish your sentence, David, or finish your thought anyway.
Well, the thought was, so I keep saying we're at war and it's an information war. And I wanted to make a distinction that, and I don't know where you lost me, the thing that they're most concerned about is they want to not have any restrictions on their power. So we're watching the Biden administration systematically attack the First, the Second, and the Fourth Amendments. Fourth deals with illegal searches and seizures.
And they're bread and butter.
Basically, they want to have total power. And this is why America is distinguished from the other nations of the world. It's the Constitution that prevents them from having total power because it's the Constitution that gives them rights and powers and then limits those rights and powers as they exercise it. The war on this planet is for total control over our minds, our hearts, our souls, our bodies, our intellect. They want us to be good little Chinese citizens sitting in 15-minute villages where they have total control. That's the ultimate battle, is their ability to total control versus our freedom to to live and move and have our being inside our Father in heaven. And in that context, have a government that serves the people, not money interests, not, you know, the financial and economic interests, not the interests of people with a lot of money, a lot of power. No, this is about a nation that serves the people who are serving our Father. It begins with service to our Father, becoming who we are in our Father, and then the government is our public servant. Go ahead, Mark. I'm
well, the thing that interested me when you were describing all of that is this idea that government is the purveyor of rights. The rights that we have, constitutional rights, come from the Constitution. No, they're protected by the Constitution. I think regular listeners all know that. But as you were talking, I couldn't help but hearken back to that idiot. That blithering moron on the Supreme Court who has no business being there because she couldn't even pass a law school exam if they still required constitutional law in a simple undergrad level course. And it goes like this. She said to the, during the oral arguments on Missouri versus Biden that, you know, this idea that the First Amendment here, would allow people to speak and that they would not allow the government to coerce these organizations into pushing the official narrative, as you put it, that would hamstring the government. And of course, everybody with half a brain says, you blithering moron, that's the whole point. The whole point of shall not is to hamstring the government. And they miss that point, and they don't believe, well, they think people are as stupid as they are. They don't believe what it says in genuine print matters anymore. Go ahead.
Well, we've lost our way when we reduced God into a religious concept. We lost our way when we failed to realize that truth and our Father are one. That Spirit, the Holy Spirit of our Father, is the counselor that brings us into all truth. We lost our way when we failed to realize that we set up a government based upon self-evident principles that are specifically declared in the Declaration of Independence, that self-evident truth is the foundation for the existence here in America. That, and inside that context, we are the children of our Father. This is how we can be one nation under God. Anything less than that is not one nation under God. Okay, so ultimately it comes back to the people. We are our fathers and our grandfathers and grandmothers, and we lost our way when we didn't understand the monetary principles, the principles that you can't serve God in money. We lost our way when we failed to comprehend that the military was being used as an industrial complex to subjugate the entire world in a context of colonialism. The American people fell asleep and the government has been encroaching past the boundaries of the Constitution for decades. And until we understand that and begin to operate in the context inside our minds and hearts that no, the government is not absolute. The government is not someone we're supposed to submit and obey when it becomes a criminal. When it becomes a criminal, then the government is no longer serving the people and it is rogue, it is renegade, and it needs to be called to account. But we didn't want to do that. And our churches told us not to do that. And even if we knew how to do that, if we picked up arms to do that at this time, we'd be playing right into their hands. So we're really finding ourselves in a conundrum here. But so they're going to continue to take advantage of our ignorance as long as we're ignorant.
Okay. Right. Well, and this is a discussion that I had more or less yesterday afternoon with Harmon Taylor, who is a former licensed bar attorney and got out of all of that when he realized what a sham the system was. And on the other hand, he still has a high opinion of the rule of law, and I agree with the fact that the rule of law is what matters. I just don't believe that the courts, as we have now seen them constituted, have anything to do with it anymore. But the point is this, David. You look at what was going on this week with the CIA revelations, cut off the legs, use lawfare. In other words, we've already twisted the court system. We own these judges. We can make them dance like we can the Biden puppet. And the question that I would ask people is, so what does that mean? You're going to say, well, I'm going to sue somebody. I'm going to sue. Alex Jones was talking about suing the Biden Fuhrer and the CIA for the things that they did. Well, good, maybe. Just maybe he can eventually get to the place where the court would reveal that they understand the truth. I don't think it's going to happen. And I think most Americans realize, you got to be kidding me, it's not going to happen. So we're at a point, and this is the thing that I think is both interesting and scary, where the rule of law is in such a state of disrepair that, you know, contempt of court is what you should have. And because the courts aren't real courts anymore. The Bible says justice, justice, you shall pursue. You ain't going to do it in the United States. That's for damn sure. So what does that mean? The good news is people are waking up to it. And I think that's at this point the main thing. You always talk about the narrative and coming out of the narrative. I talk about just coming out of the whole stinking mess, the fake money, the fake law, you name it. But the more we see that people cannot deny the truth anymore, the better things get as far as our ability to recognize, here's where we are and here's what's going on, here's what needs to happen.
Yeah, is it my turn to talk?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we got such crappy connection this morning. They're destroying the internet, too.
Okay, so, and I know we're coming up on the half hour break, but this is what I contemplate a lot. You know, power, the power of prayer. Prayer changes things. Who was it, used to say, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. You know, our thoughts are extremely powerful. And if, as we come to understand the principles of scripture, the principles of truth, the principles of government, and As we make that our study, as we make that the why of our existence, beginning to understand the principles of the kingdom of heaven, it's our failure to comprehend those and install those in our imaginations that has caused a result where we have a government that wants to eat us. They want to kill us. They want to steal our stuff. It's not the government. It's the people in the government that are using it to benefit themselves. So the government itself is a, you know, George Washington said, like fire, it's a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
Amen.
You give people power and they're going to abuse it. It's just the way it is. Hence, it's important to know the law of the restraints imposed on the government and then stand in those restraints. Like Catherine Herrick, I can't pronounce her last name, decided not to hand over her resources. She was standing on her, against the government's power under the First Amendment. She was using it the way it was intended to be used. And she's having to pay an $800 a day fine because she refuses to capitulate. That's the kind of heart that we need. And then the opportunities will present themselves to stand. I don't know why people are still paying taxes. I'll just tell you, you know, you study the tax law and then you find out that there's no statute that actually requires people to file a tax return. See, we don't know these things.
Well, here's the thing,
as a people, but if we knew that and stop cooperating with our demise, then we might get somewhere. Go ahead, Mark. Here are you trying to talk?
No, it's when you say there's no statute that requires. The trouble is, as far as Big Brother is concerned, there is this thing which they don't teach in the schools anymore, called the Fifth Amendment, that says you cannot be forced to self-incriminate. Now, even the people that I know, and I've known a number of lawyers that say, well, yeah, that's true, but if you stand up to it, they'll cut your legs off, just like they did Alex Jones. They will send you to the gulags. They'll kill you. They'll make you know who's master. Well, great. They don't care about the law, but we do. We'll pick it up there if we get back. are back, folks. Drive Time Friday Show. And normally we spend most of the time talking about news, but as always, of course, there are some things that we need to point out as we look at the news and recognize so much of what we've been taught in the public cesspools is a lie. So much of what we hear from the waste stream, well, like 98% of it is a lie. And one of the things that I think we touched on, and I want to finish the thought and then I'll go back to David just before the break. This idea that there is a statute that requires the slaves to certify and self-identify as taxpayers, and ultimately the interesting thing is this: you can easily confirm this for yourself. Any lawyer that has half a brain will tell you, "Oh yeah, it's true." The Fifth Amendment says you can refuse to self-incriminate. I am not required; I cannot be required by law or by statute to incriminate myself. And what is it that the IRS 1040 form says? I declare under penalty of perjury that I'm incriminating myself. This information can and will be used against me in a court of law or a court of IRS, and so I am going to voluntarily surrender that right. You don't have to. They can't force you to. But on the other hand, what they can force you to do is grovel and take the mark of the beast. So the question is, are you going to resist before or after it becomes clear that the mark is going to get you killed? And these are the kind of things, David, that I think it's important we at least make sure people understand. Oh, yeah, if you stand up to them, they will punish you. They will do what they did to Alex Jones and what we saw admitted this week. They'll cut your legs off. They'll put that horse's head in your bed. But on the other hand, are you going to be a slave or are you going to say, well, I'm going to serve the one true living God? Go ahead, David.
We know the scripture talks about the mark of the beast. I have a good friend down in Albuquerque. Hey, Lee, if you're listening, the mark represents ownership. It's a function of who belongs to who. The mark is a representation of dependency and ownership. And if you have the mark, you're basically a member of their tribe, which means that you're one of them. And you're the seal of our Father is the one that makes us the property of our Father. So it's a property mark, and you can't do business inside their system unless you've got this brand on you, this ownership title, which makes us a slave, exactly like what you're saying. So the idea of not accepting the mark, we're going to come to a place in history where we're going to be forced to accept this mark to be able to participate in commerce, trade, and industry. It is going to be, but see, I think we've already been there because it's an informational warfare. If we turn ourselves over to dependency on a corrupt system, then we've made mammon our God. And so that system owns us essentially
already
to withdraw our consent from that system and become dependent on our Father. Which is ultimately, you know, why Israel kept falling, because they wanted to go commit fornication with the world and enter into all these contracts with the world, that, like Washington said, these foreign alliances. And that's where we get into troubles. We think we can, you know, enter into an agreement and not have to perform pursuant to the agreement. When we file that tax return every year, we're basically declaring that we're part of the slave system. And we're surrendering voluntarily, because the tax system, the income tax system, is a voluntary system. So every year, year after year, everyone capitulates and everyone goes ahead. You know, we don't care what you do with the money that you collect. And it's not really money anyway. It's a private fiat currency. And it's not even real. It's a narrative. The entire global system is a narrative that is in contradiction to the truth. And this is what people have a hard time seeing, is that there's one truth, and then there's an infinite number of narratives, and they don't care which one you buy into as long as you're buying into a narrative, because they don't want you buying into truth. Truth is the most dangerous weapon. And here's the truth, exactly what you said. When you sign that document and surrender all this information, you're voluntarily waiving the government's otherwise restraint on their power to compel you to do anything. So we can either voluntarily consent into a completely corrupt system that wants to have a totalitarian system on this planet, or we can withdraw that consent and stop participating, learn the limitations on the power of government, and start acting within those limitations and push back from the place of knowledge. Now, back in, I'm going to share this story. Back in 08, I was involved with, or it was 07, a guy named Bob Schultz, and we petitioned the government for redress of grievance, which is, by the way, a power that we have as the sovereign people. Okay, we have the power to call the government to account. So we put together a petition for redress of grievance, hundreds of questions. We sent it to the IRS. We sent it to all of the proper people, and we demanded answers, particularly pertaining to the Internal Revenue Code. Show us, show us, show us, show us, show us. They went silent on us. And so we wrote them back and said, no answer, no taxes. And so we stood together as a group and said, okay, no more. We're done with you. And so I can openly tell you that I haven't filed a tax return since then, because we openly challenged the government to prove that they had the authority to compel anyone to file a tax return or pay taxes. They went silent on us. So we took their silence as admission. And so a lot of us began to operate from that place. Well, it didn't begin. You know, this idea has been going on for decades. People have known. There's been patriots that have done the research, sure. Former IRS agents.
They've killed a lot
CPAs.
Of them, too. It's
knowledge. Go ahead, Mark. I'm talking too much.
No. I was going to say, I just want to make it clear that understand that we are not advocating one way or the other. We're just telling you what Scripture says, what the Creator says, and know that it in advance that they have killed a whole lot of people for doing exactly this. They will try to punish people. They tried to punish Alex Jones just for telling the truth, and that is not permissible. That is verboten, and that is part of the problem. And so ultimately, what we're going to have to deal with is this question. Do we love the truth enough that we're willing to say, hey, this far and no further? If he tells me that I should do something and they say no and we're going to kill you, well, then what? Fear him who can take the soul rather than those who can just kill the body. The issue, and this is where I want to kind of direct the discussion, David, because I know that what you're talking about is lawfully correct. It's correct in accord with Scripture. And yet we all know, I know people individually, so do you. If you remember the Skousen, Joel and Mark Skousen's father, Cleon Skousen, others, people have been talking about this for years. Let me think a second. The guy that was famous, wrote the books, he's passed now years ago, too, about the IRS. They killed him, literally. So many have been killed simply for trying to tell the truth. So the people's fear is, yes, we have contempt for the courts. Yes, we recognize that they can and they do to Alex Jones and others. People that aren't as high profile as Alex Jones have been killed. They'll just send out a team and off them in the middle of the night. So people are afraid. And the point is, who are you going to fear? Who are you going to trust? Where do you put your trust? Because when it becomes the mark of the beast, it literally is not just a matter of life and death. It's beyond that. And if you haven't got the guts to stand up now for the truth, what makes you think that having been, coerced and indoctrinated into lying supinely on our backs, as Patrick Henry put it, that you're going to be able to stand up next year? Go ahead.
Well, I will say this. Okay, sooner or later, we're going to have to engage. And this is what everybody has to come into a realization. Now, the gospel of Christ is not about going to church, okay? It's never been about going to church, okay? The gospel of Christ is a process by which we come back into the realization of who we are. And we begin to operate in that capacity. Yeshua showed us what's possible. He told us to go out and make disciples. But how can we go out and make disciples when we don't even know who the heck we are? We're brothers of Christ. We're manifestations of the truth in our bodies. And if we don't manifest it, it's not manifested. Right? So the gospel of Christ is not about going to church, waving your hands up, waiting for the rapture. Okay, that's not what it is. It's not about singing songs. Okay, it's about becoming who we are called to be. It's about becoming who we are. And Yeshua demonstrated that And that he said, all of the things that I'm doing, folks, you know what? You can do that too. Nothing will be impossible for those who believe. Okay. That's real power. Okay. And that power is inside our relationship with our Father, who, and we are the temple of our Father. He lives in us. Okay. So that idea is what America's founding fathers comprehended, and they wanted to set into motion an experiment where the people themselves are sovereign. And by the way, the most terrifying words in this today's age relative to the government is the sovereign citizen.
Yep.
Well, you know, let's distinguish what a true sovereign citizen is. A true sovereign citizen is a member of the body of Christ. Okay. But they have redefined it inside their narrative to mean a terrorist. Well, only to the degree that they're terrified of the truth. And they have a whole category of what sovereign citizens believe. And it's not even true.
That's true.
The true sovereign citizen is part of the collective. It's part of the collective body of Christ. Our Father is King. Our Yeshua is walking in the capacity, and we're all in that body, and we are powerful beyond imagination. But the churches have dumbed us down. They haven't actually told us who we are. You know, we're weak, impotent, little, you know, minstrel rags, and they don't talk about their true power. And I say, I believe this is why America is a limp-wristed, weak-kneed, narcissistic whore, because the people themselves have bought into a narrative that is nowhere even remotely close to what the truth is relative to who we are and our Father and who the government is on this planet.
Okay. Okay, well, let me make just one brief comment and a slight distinction, and that is, and by the way, I'll suggest too that one of the things you want to have the FBI bust down your door is get on and say, I'm a sovereign citizen, because unfortunately, and this is where I part company, I don't claim to be a sovereign citizen. I'm not the sovereign. There's one sovereign of the universe. His name is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and that ain't me, and I know it. So I do not have a problem claiming that I am sovereign in any sense. Now, I understand what these people are saying. I just simply point out you have to be real careful, and a lot of them aren't being careful, and as a result, they suffer. They get killed. But the question is, do we know who we serve? So I'm not the sovereign. I serve the sovereign. And the sovereign, in fact, wrote the rules. He created me. He gave me God-given rights that once upon a time, when we held these truths to be self-evident, we knew we were protected by, and that the government that was put there to secure these rights was supposed to be the one doing the protection. So here we are in a place where people are waking up and saying, wow, wait a minute. We don't have that government anymore. We don't have anything remotely approaching it. What do we have? We have a government that despises the king of the universe, the creator, the one true sovereign, and they hate everything associated with him and his word. So who do we serve? So if there's anything here that I want to try to focus on, we'll talk a bit more about some of the newsy things too, because again, it's important and I think it's interesting that so much of this is being revealed, okay. David. We even saw this sign this week of the eclipse. Thankfully, nothing horrible happened, but a whole lot of people looked up in the sky, and they saw the handiwork of the one true sovereign, and they thought, wow, this is truly awesome. This is amazing. It's hard to look at that and not recognize there's a God, even though you didn't hear him talking about it on TV. So what we need to do is help people understand to fear not. That's what Scripture tells us, because the message of Big Brother is fear. I can take your stuff. I can cut off Alex Jones' leg. I can silence you. I can and will. If you enter into this system of fake law, if you use my dishonest weights and measures, ha-ha, gotcha, you slave you, you taxpayer you had better sign up, because you're in for a penny, in for a pound. If you go to a 501c3 church, if you swear your allegiance to a corporate entity, and you think that's the creator. Ha ha! Gotcha. So the problem is there's so many different gotchas, David, and that's why I know you talk about the narrative so much. We have to recognize that we have, in fact, here's Jeremiah for you, 16:19. We've inherited lies from our fathers. Lies from the church fathers, lies from the whore fathers, lies from those that pretend to be media and politicians and anything else. And we have to begin to really study and recognize the truth. And there's one source. Go ahead.
Okay, I appreciate you drawing a distinction. I'm gonna drill down and see if we can agree on the distinction. you know, is, and I'm going to use the Colorado Constitution, with the preamble of which begins, "We the people of Colorado, with profound reverence to the supreme ruler of the universe." Okay, right there. Those are the opening words to the Colorado Constitution, okay? Colorado came into the Union on equal footing with the other states. Okay, Colorado is a sovereign state. Well, who is Colorado that Colorado is a sovereign state? Well, the Colorado is we the people of the state of Colorado with profound reverence to the supreme ruler of the universe. The people are sovereign only to the degree that they're operating under and inside the principle of the one true principle, which is our Father. Okay, there's no separating ourselves from that. To the degree that you separate yourself from that, you're not operating in the truth. Now watch this, okay? When I use the word sovereign, and I 100% agree with you, there's only one sovereign in the universe, and that's our Father. We have, inside the people of the state of Colorado, people of Colorado, have a relative, subjective sovereignty where we created a government with a constitution. Relative to the government, we are the sovereign body, what they call the sovereign body politic. So collectively, the people are supposed to be one, one nation under God. I mean, you know, we say the words, but we don't actually connect that to the idea that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one creator, one. Our Father is Hero Israel. The Lord is one. And inside that oneness, we share in the one, in the truth of the one. And so in the idea of the context of government on this planet, the people are sovereign relative to government because we gave the government the right to exist. It's like we created Frankenstein. And then we limited the power of Frankenstein by saying, this you shall do, this you shall not do.
Well,
and then we forgot who we were and we ran over there and subjected ourselves to the Frankenstein we created.
Okay.
And we wonder why there's a problem.
Quick.
Go ahead, Mark.
Quick aside, David, just because as you were talking, I'm agreeing here. I'm nodding my head and thinking, all right, if you remember a line from Jefferson, he said, men are fallen, essentially. And by the way, so did some of the other Adams, John Quincy Adams and Monroe and others. Men are fallen. And so therefore, as Jefferson said, bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. The Constitution was supposed to be a set of limits, of restrictions on government, enumerated powers defining what was still retained by the people, Ninth and Tenth Amendments, what was delegated to first the states, and then from the states that were created by the people, then to the central government. And, of course, the people were in turn created by the real creator. So if we understand all of those things, you're right. But what you described is the Frankenstein's monster getting loose, breaking the chains of the Constitution, which is why the Biden-Fuhrer is such a threat, because they don't give a damn about the Constitution. They don't give a damn about your rights. They don't care about what they put their hand on a Bible, which they don't care about and swore to preserve, protect, and defend. They simply know that the ends justify the means. And the means are we have whatever power we need. The ends are to kill as many of you as possible, because there's two blankety blank and many of you. We want you dead with COVID. We want you dead with World War III. We just plain want you dead. We want to take away your guns so that you can't resist what we got planned for you. So once people begin to see that bigger truth and they realize, you know what? If I submit to this evil, they intend to kill me anyway. Well, then why don't I resist while I still can? As Patrick Henry said, you know, are we going to gain strength by lying supinely on our backs? The battle is now. The chains, I can hear them on the resounding sounds on, you know, in Boston. So ultimately, if people recognize we've been here, done this, seen this before, it gets a lot easier at least to recognize the truth, if not necessarily to summon the intestinal fortitude to do the right thing, which is why I think come out of her is a good first step. Go ahead.
Well, okay, so as you're talking, I love bouncing off each other. Here is important. Okay, Colorado Constitution, Article 2, I challenge all your listeners, go on the internet, verify this. Article 2, Section 1, all power is vested in and derived from the people. And then from there, it goes on to explain that government exists to serve us. All right, now we go to the 10th Amendment of the federal constitution. I was just distinguishing now between the state and the federal constitution. A lot of people don't make this distinction. All power not granted to the United States through the Constitution is retained to the states or to the people. In other words, any power not delegated or given away is retained. So ultimately, and here we go. Here's the hierarchy of sovereignty. Okay. The supreme ruler of the universe, the people who kneel at the altar of our father, who is sovereign. And we recognize that sovereignty. We're operating inside that one sovereignty. We then turn around using the Constitution and delegate power. Well, if we can delegate it, we can take it back. If we have this relationship, by delegating it, we can take it back. And that's what the whole idea is in America. If the government that is set up to serve us becomes a renegade, becomes a criminal, we have a duty to take back that power. But see, we don't know that. And even having this conversation, people who haven't studied constitutional law seems a little extreme and a little radical. Well, that's only because when the founding fathers set this system up, it was extreme and it was radical. And to the degree that we think is radical now, it's because we're operating in the same type of tyrannical system that the founding fathers came out of. So this is what terrifies the globalists. This is why America is under attack. And if we don't preserve these principles, then we're not going to regain them. We better start understanding them now and living them, because if we lose them, we will not be going back. Promise you.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, you laid out an excellent series of information there. And as you're talking again, I can't help but think, all right, you almost, but not quite quoted, Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence, where he said essentially that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, what? The ends of knowing that our rights come from God, the purpose of government is to secure these rights. Well, when a form of government, i.e. like the Fuhrer right now, becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. So, and they also said this, right? Government depends on the consent of the governed. So, no, we are not encouraging armed rebellion or anything of the sort. What we are encouraging is people to recognize that you should withdraw consent. Why do you consent? Why do you agree to a tyranny? Why do you serve another master foreign to our Constitution and laws when Yeshua says you can't serve two masters? What the hell are we doing serving one that is clearly satanic, that wants you dead, that wants your kid mutilated, that wants your little girl to have her breast cut off, that wants to teach them that they're nothing but worthless lumps of protoplasm? That essentially from one end to the other is as antithetical to the God of the universe and his word as you can get.
Yep.
So I'll say it this way. We've got only 10 seconds left. If you want his protection, obey him. And with that, David, hey, thanks. And I think we're out of time. Shabbat shalom, folks.
We're just getting warmed up.
All right. Hey, I didn't stop the recording yet, and I'm not sure. Maybe the music might have come a few seconds early. We'll see. But good show. I appreciated that, David.
Well, I want to, since you're still recording, let's just do an addendum.
Okay.
So yeah, the people have a duty. We have the right to alter when a government ceases to function to the end of who's established who's secure. We have a right to alter or abolish it. But then he goes. But governments, he says, but all experience has shown that mankind is more willing to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the form of government to which, you know, we're familiar with. Then it goes on. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce the people under absolute despotism, the people have a duty. It changes from a right to a duty. So we don't just have a right. We have a duty to not cooperate with a system of government that has as its agenda, the intention as demonstrated by a long train of abuses and usurpations, to reduce us under absolute despotism. If we're not living in that time right now, you know what? We're sound asleep inside of a narrative. And this is what people need to realize, is this particular distinction. The last thing I said on the show, if we continue to go down this road and allow this system to win, we will never see this type of thing ever again on this planet. And if that's not a red alert call, I don't know. I don't know how much more that I could say to wake people up.
Okay. Well, and you're right. That is in turn, certainly the point. And, that is exactly what it is the scripture warns us about. And I'm not a fatalist. I don't think it's necessarily a requirement that we go right to the mark of the beast right now. It's just an indication that we certainly have all of the pieces in place to get there, and that those who know where this is headed need to do exactly what scripture says. Don't participate. Come out of her, my people. And as the founders put it, withdraw your consent. So, we're all on the same page there. And, appreciate it, David. That was an excellent piece. I'll edit this and I'll put it in, and we'll put it on the end of the recording after the part that people can hear live, so that if they download the podcast, they'll get it. I want to make one other observation, by the way. I just checked this. I was going to mention it, okay, if we had time, but mm-hmm. It looks like the economic meltdown is blowing up a little bit too. We have seen a huge rise in both gold and silver, especially gold, but ultimately silver will catch up because it is real money, according to scripture and the Constitution when we had it. Gold was up huge this morning. It was up over $2,400 an ounce. It hit a high of over $2,430.
Yep.
And the story online was that it gapped up. And of course, now they've hammered it back down a bit, but that's actually a good thing, because the technicians, the technical analysts will say, well, it has to close the gaps, but the gap means that it's destined to move higher. So that's a positive technical thing. Certainly also looks like people are starting to realize it. Another indicator that they have awakened as opposed to just got woke and stupid. Silver was up over $1. As a matter of fact, up $1.60 at one point, and it is currently still trading above $29 an ounce. So all of these are indicators that more and more people are figuring it out. By the way, I saw this week. I don't know if you saw it or not. Costco, as you know, has been selling 1 ounce gold bars from Pomp, and it's basically they're 24 karat 1 ounce high purity gold, and they're selling them at a pretty good price, essentially just a couple percent over spot value, which is way cheap, and it's hard to get gold for that price. Anyway, the story I saw said they're selling between $100 and $200 million of gold in Costco alone now per month.
I don't know what else.
People
are waking up in a hurry.
Otherwise you're going to starve. There needs to be an alternative. All right. Well, again, hey, thanks, David. Appreciate the time together, and have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. I'll look forward to it. See you.
Shabbat shalom.